Well, we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I appreciate you all staying. I didn't run you off. But it's good to be in the Word. It's good to be able to open up the Word of God together, and we certainly are very, very thankful, certainly for the Word of God being proclaimed here. In Paul's day, and Paul even called it a mystery, the Jews and the Gentiles did not get along. Of course, we see this certainly in the Old Testament. But in our Lord's day, even, the Jews had nothing to do with the Gentiles, totally separated from them. They really looked down on the Gentiles, even called them dogs. And of course, the Gentiles did not want anything to do with the Jews. They were just really hated. And it's a strong word to use, but they just really hated one another. And Paul, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, shows to us what God has done in bringing together Jew and Gentile in salvation in Jesus Christ, and what he has done in uniting them together as one. Now that speaks of a powerful gospel. And it speaks of God's word, and it speaks of the change of the heart and what God's word does and what the gospel does when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. So Paul is writing, he's writing to many Gentiles that are in the churches that are going to be receiving this letter, but there are some Jews there also. And some Jews that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so Paul just wants to magnify that and to be able to show to us that within the body of Christ, we all have that oneness. We all have that being united together as one in Jesus Christ. And so I want to read verses 4, 5, and 6 here in Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So this is the sevenfold oneness that we were talking about, that we as believers, all of us, share this together in bringing us together in the Holy Spirit, in that bond of peace. This seven is the foundation. It is the foundation to our unity, our oneness, harmony, one accord in working together, in serving together, in walking together, in praying together, in singing together, in serving together, in growing in Christ together, encouraging one another, and loving one another together. This is what this unity is all about. So let's look at one body. Let's look at one body. And of course, this one body, as we have said before, we are talking about the body that we represent of Jesus Christ. It's called the church. Sometimes it's called the family of God. Sometimes it's called the temple of God. As I said, sometimes we're called the bridegroom of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the oneness we have together when we are born again, we are baptized into that body. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 13. That is that oneness that we have in the body. Now, I want to go back with me, if you don't mind, back to 1 Corinthians and back to chapter 12. And I want to begin reading at verse number 12, because Paul just explains this so well about the body and what we represent within that body and what we're talking about, that we are one in that body. So notice verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But how have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more than those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So let's go back to chapter 4 of Ephesians, and there you have certainly a very good definition, call it a metaphor or whatever you want to call it, in being able to illustrate for us how God sees us within that body and how we all need one another. Now, we depend on the Lord. We do. And we don't get away from that. We can do all things through Jesus Christ because he is strengthening us. And we depend on the Lord. And sometimes when we're weak, and at our weakest point, sometimes that's when we're the strongest, because we're leaning more on him and trusting him even more than just leaning on our own selves. But still, God uses each one of us within the body to be able to encourage one another and love one another, and what Paul describes as building up one another in the faith. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that a pastor is called to do and to teach the flock, so they in turn can be able to help to build up one another in the faith, to encourage one another in the faith. So what I'm simply saying is this: within the body that we're all a part of, we need each other. We need each other. And we have to be reminded of that, because as I said in Sunday school, you know, at times we begin to take one another for granted. We just get so, you know, accustomed or whatever, you know, to meeting together at church and so on that we forget sometimes somebody needs a call on the telephone or they need a text message on the smartphone or they need to receive something on the email or, you know, or they just maybe need a visit. Somebody, you know, and I realize we do this with unsaved people, but we're talking about also our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, we do get discouraged, don't we? I mean, we do get down. And we don't need to be stepped on when we're down. You know, we need to be lifted up. And it's not to say, you know, that we use that as a crutch or anything else. We don't mean that. But it's just the way God has put us together. I mean, some of you, every one of you have a gift. And some of them are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And whether you know what the spiritual gift is that the Holy Spirit gave you when you were saved, because he gave you what he pleased, what he wanted you to have, whether it's the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, or gift of giving, or just what gift that he has given to you, it's needed here. And if that gift stays home, shuts the door, you know, then that gift is missing. And it's just like, you know, if the ear was going to say to the eye, I don't need you. Well, the ear does need the eye, you know. And that's the kind of picture that God wants us to see, you know, of our need of one another. And that's all, that's one, you see. One body. Then he says also in verse 4, not only one body, but also one spirit. One spirit. And we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We all, as we said before, we've all been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But when we were saved, when we received Christ as our Savior, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It does not matter whether you felt that or not. Some people, when they get saved, relieved, the burden of sin is lifted. But you are indwelt, and by faith, God tells us that every one of us have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And every one of you, that's something you should all share together. One Spirit. One Holy Spirit. It's Him. And that is quite a bond that does bring us together. And it helps us to think together. And rather to think separately or go, you know, our own way. It does promote unity and togetherness within the body as we are led by the Holy Spirit, as we walk by the Holy Spirit, where we are not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but we are controlled, you see, by the Holy Spirit of God. And thankful for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the gift, but the fruit, the joy, the love, the peace, and self-control, and all of that, that he gives to us. Because again, you look at how we treat each other. Look at how we love one another. You know who's looking? Well, not just God, and not just the devil, but there's unsaved people that are watching. They are. You'd be surprised. I don't think you'd be surprised. I know, let me put it this way. When I was at Calvary Baptist Church in Georgetown, Delaware, our community and surrounding area, nowhere near as big as what your area is, But the unsaved people in our community knew what was going on in our church. Do you hear what I said? They knew what was going on in our church. Now, I'm thankful we weren't fighting. Or we weren't tearing each other apart. But had we been, they would have known it. They would have known it. And all of this foundation of oneness that we're talking about here, it's not just for the purpose of us getting along and enduring one another. It is a testimony to the glory of God. And it's a reflection of Jesus Christ and what others see in you and me. In other words, yes. Yes, I like to say it myself. I said, you know, don't look at me, look at Jesus Christ. I'll fail you. You watch me long enough, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to fail you in some way. But keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But yet, yet, God tells us to walk worthy. God tells us to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And certainly to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is reflected, you see, on how people see God. Let me say this. I don't know if we were ever a Christian nation. I'm thankful for some of the precepts that our country has been founded upon. I'm thankful for the patriots that have been in our country, sacrifices they made for our nation. But we're living in an evil day, folks. And I know the Bible says it's going to get worse. I realize that. And I realize the darkness is getting darker, but yet we've got the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. And he is in us through the Holy Spirit of God. And people are dying and going to hell every day. And our light needs to shine. And I'm afraid some of the light is getting dimmer. I read all the time, we're whatever it means in America, we're in a post-Christian era, we have passed the Christian era. And you know, the people that say that, you know what they're saying? They're saying basically everybody's pagans. What they called them in Paul's day, they're heathen. Of course, we just say they're sinners that need Christ, just as we were. So this oneness is bigger than all of us. You see, it's how we are honoring and glorifying God in our lives. Because it reflects on how we conduct ourselves with one another. So, we all carry the same seal. We all have the same seal, the Holy Spirit. He's quite a teacher. And my, he's quite a comforter as well. Look at the next word there, and you are called in one hope. So we got one body, we've got one spirit. We got one hope. What is the one hope of your calling? And it's a blessed hope. The word hope, as you know, is always used in Scripture, basically, within most of the context. That word hope is assurance. You know, it's not hope so. It is an assurance. There is an assurance here of our one hope that we all share together. And that one hope is this: we're going home one day. If it's before the rapture, we'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If the rapture happens now, we'll be out of here in the twinkling of an eye. If we have passed on, our body sleeps, then when that day comes and the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, you know, aren't you listening for the trump? I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. And when he comes, oh my, to resurrect these bodies and just to take us to be home with him forever and forever and forever in our glorified bodies. I tell you, that's a blessed hope. That is a blessed assurance. And we all share that together. That bonds us together. Just as the Holy Spirit bonds us together, just as we're all connected together in the body of Christ, and how that bonds us together. Verse 4 helps us to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. In verse 5, one Lord. One Lord. He's the head of the body, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. One Lord. We all have the same Lord, one. And you've heard many times, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Polycarp, some of you may have read church history. Polycarp was in the second century AD. He was a pastor at Smyrna. Polycarp was 86 years of age. He was arrested for preaching Christ. He was arrested for preaching God's word. And that's happening today also, by the way, in many parts of this world. Under Roman arrest, Polycarp was told if he would say three words, they'd let him go. The three words were, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. We'll let you go, or you will burn at the stake. In Polycarp's testimony, I paraphrase it some, he said, my Lord has been so faithful to me down through these many years. He has prayed for me. He has led me. He has loved me. He gave his life for me. There's no way, no way that I can forsake him, that I can turn my back on him. And Polycarp burned. He was a martyr. He burned to death at the stake for his Savior, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was Lord. He was Lord. So not only is there one Lord, but there's one faith, and we're thankful for that. And we just, faith has so many aspects. And faith, we're taught so much about faith in the scriptures. But this one faith that has brought us together is our faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in a religion. A religion cannot save anybody. But our faith is in, and it's not in an object. It's not in an idol. And sometimes we have too many idols that we have faith in, but our faith is in the person of our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We all share that oneness, that one faith that has brought us together. Because there's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And no one, no man or person, no person can come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. We also see one baptism. Some have said that this would be talking about the baptism by immersion. I'm thankful for baptism. I believe God gave us that ordinance to be baptized. I'm thankful it doesn't give us salvation, but it represents the salvation we have received in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have seen people, certainly, that have been baptized by immersion, and they don't have to say much, but those words, or that picture, rather, of them going down into that water and being immersed and coming up out of that water speak volumes to who they have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I say all of that because I hold here that because of we're talking about this oneness and the things that have brought us together, I think that the baptism here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That baptism does not happen over and over and over again. And there are some that preach that you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't be spiritual till you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think God teaches us in His Word that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12:13, is a one time, and it happens when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and we are sealed and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And we are given that fruit of the Spirit. Now, what we can do to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Our old flesh, our old nature, our anger, as Paul says later here in Ephesians, it can grieve the Holy Spirit when that comes out, because we're hurting somebody, and somebody we should be loving, when that comes out, and that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And we can even quench the Holy Spirit of God and its control that He has over us. And sometimes, you know, we forget that. We forget that. What we can do in our lives in sin and dishonoring God, and what we can do to the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And I'm thankful that He pricks our heart. Aren't you? I'm thankful when we're guilty, He'll let us know. And the Word will let us know. And something is wrong and needs to be corrected. And we look in the mirror and let's get it corrected. And that's all part of that one, you see? That one that brings us together. If we get off, brings us back to the oneness that we have within the body and with one another and in Jesus Christ. So the one baptism, it's how we're connected to the head. It is, you know. Here's the body. Here's the body that we're part of. Here's the head, Jesus Christ. We're connected. We're connected. And that is our life in Christ. And that is an effect on our walk and our conduct that we have in Him. So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then verse 6, one God. So you notice we have all the Trinity here. We've seen in verse 4 the Holy Spirit, and here in verse 5 we see Jesus Christ. And now in verse 6 we see God the Father. One God and Father of all. Isn't it something? The oneness of God. The oneness that the Trinity has together. God is one. Yet He's three distinct personalities. We are one. Yet we all have diverse ministries and gifts within the body. God the Father. You came to Him because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were at enmity with God the Father. All of us were before we received Christ. And look now. We can come to Him. We can come to God the Father anytime. And we can come to Him not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come anytime, anywhere. We can come and find help at the very throne of grace. Now, I know it's good to pray for one another. It's good to pray with one another. But it's also, isn't it wonderful to know we have a great high priest that's praying for us? Isn't it wonderful to know that we can go to God the Father? We don't have to have some man or priest to go on our behalf. We can go ourselves into the very throne room of grace. One. One God and Father. I've had this happen more than one time here recently. I've had a person say to me that the Muslims, the Arabs, that Allah is the same God because He was Abraham's God, is the same God as our God. And I say, no. 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 N-O. Definitely not. What they're talking about, the Allah they're talking about, no way, no way. That is a God of hate. That's not a God of love. Their God that they paint in the Quran and so on of Allah. No. No. And I know I come on a little bit hard here, but it's if you're talking and witnessing to an Arab, that's something you have to move into very carefully, because they need to realize, they need to, the God they think they know isn't the right God. We have one God. One God and Father of, notice, of all. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter man or woman. Doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what God saved you out of. He is Father of all. And notice He is above all. Peter would say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, he was speaking of course, Satan. And he was using the pronoun, greater is he. But you realize that we have in us, in representing us in the Holy Spirit, in God the Holy Spirit, we have all of the Godhead within us. Because from that standpoint, you can't separate them. And so greater is he of all of the Godhead that is in us than he that is in the world. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, Satan's going to try and knock you down this week. But we can stand, can't we? We can stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we don't have to run. Now, we can flee sin. We can run from that. But we can stand even as he tries to knock us down. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Because we are one. We are one in God the Father, who is above all. You see, that's why Polycarp would not bow down. That's why he would not. You see, Caesar was putting himself above God. Polycarp said, I can't do that. There's only one. He's not only above all. Notice, he is through all. He is through all as well. What does that mean? He is through all. Do you believe that God controls your life? God has told us it is he who worketh in us both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Do you believe in the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, that he teaches us about himself? When you look at all of the mess that this world is in, can you still have peace and still have some state of mind that God's still in control? He is. He is through all. There is nothing that happens, nothing in your life that happens. Well, God in some way is involved in all of that. He won't look upon your sin. But he's made a way that we can be forgiven. He's made a way that we can always come back. We don't lose it. But we can always come back. And he always forgives us. He is through all. He is through all. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. And looking at the way things are going in this old world, if we couldn't hold on to that, because everything that is happening in this world, now listen to me, it's going to do this. As it gets worse and worse, it's going to bring back Jesus Christ to this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. at one day, and for 1,000 years even. Everything that's happening, God hasn't lost control. No slipsies. Christ still reigns. Hallelujah. And we are serving with him. We are his workers. We are his workmanship. Because he is in you all. And that's what I meant when I said we have all of the Godhead indwelling us. He is in you all. We are in God the Father. We are in God the Son. And we are in God the Holy Spirit. But our life revolves in the work that he is doing around Jesus Christ. Because he is conforming us to his very image in what he is doing. So, verse number 3 says, I'll repeat it, we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here are the 7 foundations and the oneness that God is used and is using that has brought us together, holding us together, keeping us together as we live for him and as we serve him. Sometimes I say this. I'm thankful I'm on God's side, aren't you? I'm thankful I'm God's side. Even sometimes when I don't know what I'm doing, I'm thankful I'm on God's side. Because I know what he knows what he's doing. I may not like some of the changes that we're seeing in the area of immorality and everything happening around us. But we've got a oneness that we can cling to that never changes with everything else that is changing. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ did for us upon that cross. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for these dear folk. And again, just thank you for their kindness to listen and the kindness, Father, to hear the word. Father, there's a week before us. It's work. Because we are your workmanship. You have a work for each of us to do. And we need to encourage one another in the work, the vocation you've called us to. We need to help one another, pray for one another, love one another, just to draw us closer to you so we can honor you and be drawn even closer to one another. May our love grow. May we not be willing just to be able to sit still, but to serve you. Thank you, Father, for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Use them for your glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.